You're listening to Stateside from Michigan Radio. I'm Cynthia Canty. It's the latest turn in the tragic story of Flint and its water. Mayor Karen Weaver wants her city to keep drawing its water from the Detroit-based Great Lakes Water Authority for the next 30 years. Residents get their chance to weigh in on the mayor's decision tonight at a town hall meeting. Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes is here with us. Daniel, were you surprised at this?
No, not at all. Last year at the Mackinac Conference up on Mackinac Island, I did an interview with the mayor, and she made it pretty clear that she was going to take a very hard look at this and implied, if not outright stated, I went back and looked at this actually the other day, that they were going to get out and they were going to back out of the KWA. And that elicited a letter to the editor from the CEO of the KWA saying basically that the city of Flint is obligated to $7 million a year in debt service, and they have a contractual obligation. Well, fast forward to this week, and part of the deal that the city has proposed with the Great Lakes Water Authority, which is the former Detroit system, is that the Detroit system will give them a $7 million credit every year, so long as they continue to pay their debt service. So the net effect is KWA gets its money and Flint gets what it wants.
Because there would have been probably one the mother of all lawsuits had that not
absolutely
happened.
So I think my point here is twofold. One is everybody, it appears, this has to go through the regular governmental processes, but everybody appears to get what they want. But more importantly is all this was so unnecessary. I mean, here we are 3 years to the month from when a former emergency manager ordered Flint to change its water source, and your air and my newspaper and Lord knows whoever else has been reporting on all the terrible things that happened to children and to people and Legionnaires outbreaks and all this other kind of stuff. And all of it could have been avoided because we're now back to where we started.
With much suffering, with health effects that are going to last for generations.
Unbelievable. And a tarring of Flint, a tarring of the Snyder administration, a tarring of Michigan's competence as a state in the way it's run. I mean, you go down the list. It's one thing after another. And here we are. The mayor wants to take Flint back to where it was in the beginning. I think politically, that's the only choice she has. The lingering anxiety of connecting yet again to another water system, I think, would be very hard politically to manage. And it would be a deterrent potentially to any investment. This is, I think, a predictable outcome, but it's so unnecessary.
And as your opening salvo in today's column put it, dumb management and even dumber politics.
Oh, yeah. You know, the emergency management law has been criticized for the root of this problem. I dissent from that a little bit. I think it's not the law. It's the people who were chosen. You know, if you look at the Detroit bankruptcy, when the governor decided to bring in Kevin Orr, he brought in somebody who was a professional from outside. He was not part of the Detroit political ecosystem. And some listeners may remember that some of the names being floated at the time were people who were well known in the Detroit political system. Kevin Orr came in and he had a job to do. He worked for the governor and he was empowered by state law, period. That's not what happened in Flint. You had four different emergency managers, all of whom came from the political ecosystem of Flint. What does that mean? That means you have alliances, you have allies, you have enemies. And as a result, I think some decisions were made that weren't necessarily in the best interest of the city, and they didn't look at what some of the implications were. And so here we are, and now all of it's being unwound.
Do you get a sense, Daniel, that the public is sort of numb over all of this?
It depends on your definition of numb. I think those of us who don't live there, absolutely. I think people have moved on, and this is just an afterthought. I mean, if you're really politically minded, particularly, I think, Democrats, you see this as a club to beat Republicans with. And frankly, Republicans have given them that club, and they're able to use this. Nationally, I think this reinforces, unfortunately, a narrative about some of the major cities in Michigan, Detroit, Flint being two examples, which of course are minority-majority cities. And that is the relative incompetence of the management and governance of those cities. I've always noted that there's a sense of superiority, look down the nose at these people who really can't take care of their own affairs. And unfortunately, this has reinforced that. It's not fair, but it is reality. And when we complain about people picking on Michigan or picking on Detroit or picking on Flint, it's these kinds of things that give critics ammunition. And as long as people keep making these kind of mistakes, people will continue to pick at these cities and this state because we give them the ammunition to do so.
And people from the outside not grasping the reality that the decision was made by an emergency manager appointed by the governor, not by the locals.
I think that's right, you know, and that's how it works. But I think a lot of, you know, they say in the context of presidential administrations that personnel is policy and personnel is destiny. And I think that that applies here as well. If you look at the emergency management system and what has worked in Michigan and what has abysmally failed, a lot of it has been driven by who the people were that were making the decisions.
Detroit News Business columnist Daniel Hiles, as always, thanks, Daniel.
Thank you.